by the revelation of your word, causing our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, and our emotions to be controlled even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak, Lord God. You cause, Lord God, this word to go forth as a river of refreshing, bringing refreshing to all, but especially to my fathers, under whose anointing I now duck under. And I ask for mercy to deliver this word as they would were they here doing it for themselves. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you've heard our prayers tonight. You will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can imagine. We trust you for mercy, your grace, and your help, O God. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to thank the Lord once again for this great honor, the privilege we have to stand here today to bring this word again. And I want to thank, first of all, God who has enabled it possible to give me this word to bring tonight. And also want to give thanks to my fathers. Pastor, thank you so much, sir. I want to acknowledge you. And acknowledge also Mummy in absentia, but I know that she's prayed for me and that the power of the Spirit is present to bring this word forth in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you in particular for your input into this work, sir. I appreciate it so much. It's a privilege to stand at this pulpit. And so we bring the word tonight, and we trust that it will be a word that will bless all of our hearts. Amen. I've entitled it, Shining in Perilous Times. Amen. Shining in perilous times. When perilous times come, we need to shine even more. Amen. And this message has been in my heart for some time. We are in a worldwide problem. When I say problem, I mean it's not of God's dream, it's man's doing. In Nigeria, the church this day, there is gross darkness. And that gross darkness has caused darkness upon the earth, moral darkness, but especially spiritual darkness. And it's come about through the dishonesty and the resistance to the things of God and the word of God in the hearts of men. This is the root cause of it. We'll see in a moment why it's so, because there's like, I call it a darkness gradient in the earth today. And that's why there's darkness upon the earth and gross darkness in the hearts of men. We want to start with a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Give me chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, please. Please, please, pretty please. Okay, all right. I'll go to my Bible. That will never fail. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 7. Let's see. Yes, thank you. No, this is not. It's chapter 1, sorry. Chapter 1. Where it says, 2 Thessalonians, sorry, chapter 2, verse 7, forgive me, chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's a mystery of iniquity, folks, just like there's a mystery of godliness. And in this day and hour, both of them are at work. Amen? What we're seeing now, sadly, but it's only for a while, amen? What we see now is the mystery of iniquity seems to be gaining the ascendancy. That's why there's darkness and gross darkness in the earth. Amen? But the mystery of godliness will overtake that mystery of iniquity in due season. Amen? Amen? But where I'm going is, let's read on. So that he be led, he who now letteth will let until be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Coming first of all in his saints, and then finally coming in person on the earth. But where we're going is verse 10. Says verse 9. Let's read verse 9 first. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Remember, we're in perilous times. Because why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, dishonesty, that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, the Bible says, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And if God sends a strong delusion, believing, those people will believe the lie. But the essence is, the root cause of their problem is a dishonesty. The Bible says they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So in other words, they knew the truth, but they refused to receive it that they might be saved. Amen. Imagine if God sent them a strong delusion. There's also another scripture that the Lord showed me. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. Hallelujah, somebody. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Again, I want us to read this in the Amplified. Okay, yeah. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Now look what it says. I love this. It says, God's holy wrath. Let's read it together, please. God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness do what? Repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. That is a serious statement. It says, in their wickedness, what is wickedness? Casting instruction behind you. Refusing to acknowledge instructions. That's what the Bible says, Psalm 60. It says, but in their wickedness, they repress and hinder what is truth. And not only that, because they repress and hinder it in their hearts, because of dishonesty, they make that truth inoperative. That's the truth of the Word of God. But it's supposed to work through the hearts of the men that God ministers that truth to. But when a person represses and hinders it, then it stops. It's like it stalls. It stops it from manifesting itself. Let's continue. Verse 19. For that which is known about God is evident and made plain in their inner consciousness. Because God Himself has shown it to them. This is a serious matter. He said that God has Himself, in other words, God Himself took it upon Himself to reveal that truth to all men. This is not just Christians. It is all men. Reveal it to by Himself to them in their inner consciousness. So no man can say, I don't know what the truth is. Because God Himself has shown it to them. Next verse. For ever since, the creation of the world, His invisible nature and attributes, that is, His eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made His handiworks. So men, all men, are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. This is a serious matter. The invisible things that God has made declare His glory. Says the heavens declare the glory of God. So no man in the world can say, I don't know about God. I don't know of God, unless he chooses not to. Absolutely. It must be a choice of a dishonest in heart. Yes. Next verse, quickly. Because this is serious. He says, because when they knew, can you imagine this? They knew and they recognized Him as God. In other words, they were not without knowledge. They knew and recognized, yes, God, yes, okay. You are God, we are men, we will do our own. Why? See, they did not honor and glorify Him as God or gave Him thanks. Oh, mercy God. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, stupid speculations, and their senseless mind was dark. This is the reason for the darkness. Amen? This is the reason for the darkness. Well, this is verse 20. Let's just read this to verse 24. Aiming, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made simpletons of themselves. Next verse, 23. And by them the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling all that stuff. You know, the Bible says that God gave them up. Verse 24. This is it. Thank you, sir. Therefore, now this is serious. God gave them up in the lusts of their own hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonor of their bodies among themselves, abandoning themselves to the degrading power of sin. Next verse. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forevermore. Folks, This is the condition of the human heart in the vast majority of the earth. They said that God gave them, for God to give up his creation. This is man that he made in his image and likeness. But God gave them up because of the dishonesty in their hearts. Another thing I want to see here is that it's that root of dishonesty, that root of not acknowledging God for who he is and professing to be wise and becoming fools, that is directly responsible for all this homosexual nonsense on the earth today. It just derives from, it's a derivation of a consequence, it's the result of that consequence, that process. That's where it comes from. That is where it comes from. It's a fruit, thank you, sir. It's a root, and it also is a fruit, sir. Amen. So this is it. This is the situation. And must God give up his own creation? He's done it once before. Remember Genesis chapter 6? When, verses, the hearts of men were, their thoughts were only evil continually. Then he wiped out the whole world, except for one person. And just as it was then, so it is now. There is a Noah company who has sons under him that will be preserved and will replenish the earth and restore it back to what God originally planned it to be before he comes. Amen. We will see that, but let's continue. So this is it. Now, Apostle Paul also prophesied this. And he said in 2 Timothy, give me 2 Timothy now, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 9, which is where we get the title, a part of the title anyway. On the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he called it perilous times. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this also, or this know also. We're reading together, folks, let's read together. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. They're not coming, they're here. They have arrived full blast. Or you just to put on the TV. In fact, sometimes you just wonder. Let's go. Next verse. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This was what Timothy wrote all those years ago. Sorry, Timothy. Paul said, wrote in Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy. Next verse. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Have you seen that fierce spirit these days? When you say anything about God, you see that news rise up. It just comes up. It's automatic. Just say a few words of grace of God. Just to say a prayer somewhere. You see them come against him with such force. Fierceness. Despises of those that are good. Next verse. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. We're getting a little bit warmer here now. Next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The sad thing about this is that this is not just unbelievers. There are Christians in those two verses, verses 4 and 5. Go back to verse 4. Back to verse 4. Back to verse 4, please. It says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So in other words, they love God, but they love pleasure more than God. So they put God to one side, and pleasure will take over the place of God, God forbid. And then it says, next verse, it says, having a form. There's a form of godliness in church today, folks. But there's no power behind it. The power of godliness is kept out. Shut out of the hearts of men. Shut out of the churches of God in the earth this day. This is what's going on. This is what is outflowing from the hearts of men that are in darkness, and there are Christians there. People who are born again, spirit-filled. Amen. The Bible says in Titus, they professed God, that they know God, but they deny him, being all works abominable and disobedient. Amen. They deny the power to be like Christ. All this darkness in the world is a consequence in the darkness of hearts of one, unregenerate men, and in hearts of two, Christians, born again Christians, who deny the power of godliness. And because they deny the power, their hearts are darkened. So they walk in darkness like all the other unregenerate men do. Sad situation, but it's true. The Bible speaks in Ephesians, talks about walking. Say, no longer walk like the other Gentiles in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance, hard-heartedness. Because hard is the heart. The Lord showed me a gradient, and I want to share with you. Give me Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. show you where this is just a confirmation of all that we've been saying so far. Isaiah 60 verse 2, please. It says, for behold the darkness. Now check this out. It says, the darkness shall cover what? And then the gross. Give me this in the Amplified. I want to see. There's a word that I use there. Give me the Amplified. It says, behold, darkness shall cover and dense darkness all the people. So the density of the darkness is greater on the people than it is upon the earth. Which shows there's a gradient of darkness coming from the hearts of the people, which is affecting the entire earth. That's where it's all from, folks. It's what is in the heart. That's what has brought us to these perilous times. The fact that men's hearts are darkened, and they're so dark that it's flowing into the rest of the earth and it's affecting the rest of the earth. Now, question, why has this come about? This gross darkness in the hearts of men and darkness in the earth. Pastor said something which I remember when the Lord was giving me this message. He said, the only way for darkness to prevail is for light not to shine or to dim. The initiative, he said, is always with light to shine or not to shine. Darkness only takes the place that light gives. If light does not shine, it's darkness. You cannot overcome light with darkness, or should not be able to. Darkness should not be able to overcome light. So there's a problem in the earth. The problem, as you said, is the hearts of men. The people who should be given the light on the earth are no more given the light as they should. There's been a dimming of the light. So we need the light of Christians who refuse to be entangled by the word and entangled with the lust of the flesh. And even this situation, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, says, let your light so shine before men so you can see your light and give glory to your Father. But the essence is this. This situation came about because light has dimmed. The intensity of the light has dimmed dramatically. My pastor was sharing this with me about 100 years ago, and it's true. But 100 years ago in the United States, in the United Kingdom, they allowed the Bible to be preached and to be read every Sunday. In the United Kingdom in particular, every single Sunday, the King James Bible was read in every church in the land. Mandatory. Same in the United States. In fact, the United States, the people who colonized the United States, went there to serve God freely. And I've read so many different accounts of presidents in America in those days. They will call a national fast. The whole nation will pack up for 2-3 days and they will do nothing but fast and pray. And it will be a presidential directive. Lincoln, Jefferson, all the great presidents of the land. Abraham Lincoln. Quincy Adams. Thank you, sir. They will call national. Can you imagine the whole of a country stopping everything just focused on God? And it wasn't once, it wasn't twice, it was a standard feature. The whole of Congress was shut down. Yeah. Everybody would go to their places of fasting and prayer, and they would do nothing but seek the face of the Lord for 3-4 days. And that, to me, it's almost unbelievable that it's the same United States. It's amazing. This is it. This is the problem. It's that dimming of light, sir. That's it. Thank you, sir. That's about Thanksgiving. The day they celebrate Thanksgiving in November. I think the last Thursday of November of every year. That's what it was, a day to give thanks to the Lord for all God had done the previous year. And they set it as a memorial. Of course, today now it's all chop and chop, 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 chop. They don't even remember the origin, but this was what America was built upon. That's why America was a beacon of light for the whole earth. And nations came to the brightness of America's rising. From all over the... 99.9% of Americans are all immigrants. The only people that were originally the Red Indians. Amen? What do you say? So this is what has now been taken away. For example, you cannot pray in schools. I was reading about one guy before, he went to a football game in America. And he stood at the end of the football game just to give thanks that he won the game in the middle of the court, the football field. And some of the people that were on his team came to join him. Do you know they sued that guy? They sued him that he was praying to thank God that the children won that game. Have you heard of an organization called the American Civil Liberties Union? They fight prayer anywhere it comes. They fight it anywhere. No more prayer in schools. When I was young, I used to pray in schools. American schools have prayer. In England, same thing. In England, this is just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, sir. They stopped prayer because they were stopping in a cinema. In the cinema. Just to begin a film, because he wants to see the Lord's Prayer. In a cinema, just. It's ridiculous. But this is what has opened the door for ISIS. This will open the door for fundamentalist life. There's been a darkening in the hearts of men. The light has dimmed. So can you imagine King James must be turning his grave? Say, what? The founding fathers of America will be saying, no way. It cannot be. But it is. And this is sad. Very sad. Very sad. But there's a solution. Amen. The problem has been that the Church of Lord Jesus Christ, who is to provide the solution, they themselves are groping. I'm not saying we, I say they. I'm not going to call myself a father. They themselves are groping in darkness, dishonesty, refusal to acknowledge the truth. And so God said, well, I can't help you if you don't want to be helped. God will not force you. So how did this come about? There's a clue in, we have a clue in that chapter 11 of Luke. Give me Luke chapter 11, verse 33. And we begin to read from there. Oh, this is astounding. Luke 11, 33. Thank you. Now listen, this is it. This is why this has come about. Look at this. It says, no man, when he has lighted a candle there is not, you know, the one that has wax. He's talking about the spirit of man. It says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Amen. So when he has lighted a candle, when he's gotten born again, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. So, you know what this tells you? This tells you that the light is not only for you. It's for those who come in. Those who come in contact with it. So that light is supposed to shine broad. Next verse. Now, this is the problem. The light of the body is the eyes. I'm not talking about these two eyes. I'm talking about the eyes of the understanding. It was already earlier in Ephesians. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is sinned off, thy whole body is also full of light. That's the good part. It says, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Well, let's finish reading and I'll come back to it. It says, take, this is a serious warning. Which means it can happen if you don't take, thank you sir. If you don't take it, that's what's happening. It says, take heed therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. There's light there, but it's darkness. Thank you sir. What? Let's go back to that. It says, you know, let's go back to verse 34. I want to see the solution. It says, when? No, verse 34, thank you. Therefore, when thine eye is single, what does it mean to be single-minded? Well, to be single-minded means that you have no distractions. There's nothing else that you're doing. You are singly pursuing the purpose of God for that candle in you that was lit. Because when God lit the candle, there was a reason why he did it. That the light will come to you and through you to others. And that is a single-minded purpose you must follow after. It says, this is the purpose of God, that we'll be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a single-minded pursuit that we're supposed to check in through. The perfection and fullness of Christ, developing and perfecting the divine love and manifestation of the Spirit without measure. Single-minded dedication to this. Any other dedication is evil. Hello, somebody. Can I say amen now? Anything else is evil. Why? Because pursuing anything else other than that can only result in a purpose that is not of God. You didn't get that? Anything but pursuing the purpose of God for the perfection of fullness of Christ, the manifestation of Spirit without measure, and shining as a light. Anything other than that will not bring to that purpose. And therefore it's evil because it's against what God wants. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why it's evil. In the Amplified. Thank you, sir. Give me this in the Amplified, please. Thank you, sir. Give me this in the Amplified. 1134 Amplified. Thank you. Ha! Shakarabako kayaka. Your eye, Ezekaka, your eye is the lamp of your body. Hey! When your eye, your conscience, is sound and fulfilling its office, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound and it is not fulfilling your office, in other words, what you are appointed to do in the earth, your body is full of darkness. It's a simple, it sounds so simple. It sounds so unambiguous. But 90%, maybe more than 90% of the church does not have this truth functional in their lives. When you pursue what your office is, what God lit you up for to do with honesty, with integrity, with humility, you will fulfill this scripture. There will be light in your mind, your will, emotions, and it will transform into your body, and your whole body will shine. But anything else other than fulfilling that office will ultimately bring darkness, even though you are lit. Hello, somebody. And that's why he puts a warning there. He says, take heed therefore, that the light that is in thee be not darkness. It's a paradox, really, if you think about it. The light within is within him. But the light is not providing sufficient illumination, not only for him, or anybody that sees him. So he behaves, he looks just like any other man, and behaves like any other man, like the devil. Yeah. And so, yes sir. And so both him, and the people that see and follow after him, both of them stumble in the darkness. A case of the blind leading the blind. Just look at the church. Walking as mere men. Totally devoid of, or not totally, almost totally devoid, let me not say totally, there is no absolute in God. Almost totally devoid of any illumination from God to direct. This is the gross darkness in the hearts of men. Born again Christians who should be showing the way, leading the way, but the vast majority of them in the church, they're born again, they have a light of God, but they're not shining like God. Amen. So this is the case, and especially for those in leadership. And this is why leadership is so important. Instead of having a leadership in the church that is filled with this light, that this light is functioning, they're fulfilling their office. They're shining not only to themselves, but to other people who see them. What they've done is that they've dimmed their own light by their dishonesty of their hearts, and they are leading a whole army of people like them. And both they and the army, they're all walking in darkness and stumbling and everything. Why? Because there's no light in them, or no revelation of God's promises. So there'll be no single-mindedness pursuing the goal of perfection and the fullness of Christ. This is the absolute problem. Amen. And the Bible says, this is the scripture God gave me. Give me Proverbs 29:18. Are we close together? Proverbs 29:18. He said, give me this in the Amplified, in the NIV. Thank you. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Give me this in NIV. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's what we see today. The whole church is cast off restraint. It's this man-centered entertainment. Oh, I will not name the name of the program. I had the need-oriented, man-centered entertainment. It's all entertainment, folks. Just do a lot of this. Get a lot of people to come from abroad and sing. And then take offering, and everybody go home. Not one word of God preached. Nothing. And they've been doing it for years. Mercy. So, folks, this is it. So rather than a single-minded pursuit of the revelation of perfected love, the fullness of Christ manifesting the glory, what they pursue are the lusts of this world. I said the lust, the cares of the lust, we say they choke the word, and it become the pride of our faith becometh unfruitful. It was going to be fruitful. But then because they did not humble themselves to fulfill the purpose of God in their lives, the cares of this world now just choke that in. The deceitfulness of riches and the loss of other things entering in. Thank you, sir. The Lord will have to have mercy. Now, let's move on. How will this reversal of this darkness take place? We said it will start. Well, actually, it has started already. It already started. God has raised up. We were talking about Noah the other time. Those who have found grace in his sight. Amen. There are individuals now, by the grace of God, who have been walking in the revelation, the light of this word this word of the perfection of fullness of Christ. And they be walking that light of that word in their spirit in this day. And so the light is shining in them brightly in this time of danger, in this night time of gross darkness. There are people like that now. Just that they're very few. Amen? Amen? And it's so important to understand that there is a time limit for this to happen. It's not, the Bible says, Jesus was saying this, he says, you know, work while it is yet day, because the night cometh when no man can work. I think that's in John chapter 9, so I wrote it somewhere. John chapter 9 verse 4, thank you. There's a night time when you can't work. There's a night time. John says, yes, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What does that mean? That just means that you can't do anything. But it said it's going to be that much, much, much more difficult to be able to do these things if you do not do what you should do in the day. And it's come to this. It has come to it now. It really has come. Now you want to stand up for righteousness, you become an enemy of all those who stand in darkness. Pastor Raleigh was sharing me the other day. Telling me, I said, those who want to do the righteousness, they become a prey. They become a prey. The moment you stand up for anything right, so what's happening is that they're being intimidated. He wants to work, but he can't because there's so much opposition of gross darkness. So he goes, intimidated by darkness. Well, you should be light. Perilous times indeed. But there's a way to walk, amen? There is a way to walk. So your steps will be sure in this way, in this day. Amen? And the Lord Jesus is the one that showed us how to do it. The Bible says the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And he showed us there was a time when he was going to walk into danger. If I call it night himself, call it night time. When Lazarus died and he was buried, and they came and told him, the Bible says the Lord Jesus tied where he was for 2 more days. And then he got up after praying and he said he was going, and he called his disciples to go with him. And his disciples were stupefied. Said, Master! You are going back into Jewry. Don't you remember they were going to stone you? Don't you think you should be wise? But Jesus gave him an answer. And that is our answer too to this situation. Give me John chapter 11. Hallelujah. Let's start from verse 7. Verse 7. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Next verse. His disciples said unto him, Master. Okay. Master of late sought, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. They're still trying to stone them. And goest thou hither again? Folks, let me just drop a word here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God will protect us. God will protect us. They cannot. They will still try and stone the prophets. Yeah. They may even succeed once in a while, so they'll be martyrs. But do not be afraid. God is on our side. We will win. Amen. But he said, the Jews of late sought to stone, and where's that there again? Jesus wasn't afraid of, because he knew who he was. He knew that no matter how he walked, he would still come out on the other side. Amen. No matter where he went, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, he would walk in there and he would walk out. And so will you in Jesus' name. But there's a way to do it. Now, next verse is where we're going. Now, Lord Jesus answered, and this is where we're the crux of the matter here. Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. Why? Because he seeth the light of this world. Next verse. We'll take them together. But, if a man walk in the night, or in the times of gross darkness, he stumbles because there is no light in him. Sounds like a paradox. Why did the Lord Jesus say, he walked in the night, he stumbles because there's no light, period. That, those two words in him, give us a strong clue that God is not talking about physical light. I mean, obviously he's not talking about physical light. When you read the first verse, it sounds like, okay, makes sense. Yeah, okay, when you're walking in the daytime, of course, you can see the rocks, you can see where you're putting your foot, as you're walking, everything is here in light. Say, but in the darkness. He didn't say in the darkness, he didn't say that because there's no light. In other words, he's not talking about natural light. He's talking about something entirely different. He's talking about the light within. Amen. So the Lord is talking about in these verses not the presence of or absence of natural light or any earthly light only. Amen. In the manifold wisdom of God, we're going to use two scriptures to illustrate this. First, let's look at John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. John 12, 35. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Thank you, sir. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Hello, somebody. The consequence of darkness upon anyone is because he did not... I'm sorry. Darkness come upon anyone is a consequence of that person not walking in the light that the Lord Jesus gives. He says, yes, and why is the light with you? Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth, except there's a light in him. Are we getting what I'm saying? Are we one thing? So he's not talking about physical, natural light. Now take this and combine with John 8, verse 12. Give me John 8, 12. Hello, somebody. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Amen. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, whether by day or by night. I just added that there. But that's what he's saying. He says, I am the light of the world. And guess what, folks? After him, we are also to be the light of the world. See, that's where the issue is. He's done his bit. And he's handed over the baton to the church. Lord, have mercy upon us. But this is it. This is it. He says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, even when he's talking about those who are walking in the day, he said, because he sees the light of this world, he's talking about himself. He said, you walk in the light and your steps are sure because you see me and you follow after me. And as you follow after me, you will receive the light that is in life that will enlighten you to walk surely, whether by day or by night. But when the darkness comes, if you do not have that light in you, when darkness comes, you will stumble. You will not stumble in Jesus' name. Amen? So this is it. So, what he's saying? In order not to stumble or fall away, the Bible says that there will come a falling away first in that day before the Son of Wickedness be revealed. In order for you not to fall away in this day, you must discern the light of the world. And that light is still available for those who are looking for him. Amen? Because the Bible says, night cometh when no man can work. So we must see or discern by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Folks, it's all about revelation. It's all about what you see. It's all about what you're looking for. What seekest thou? What are we looking for? Are we looking for the things of the world? Are we looking for the light that will give us life? That will direct our steps. So our steps will be sure in this time of gross darkness, in these perilous days. And the days are perilous, folks, and people are perishing. You will not perish in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have this light within, instead of stumbling, like, folks, the issue is how much of that light have we internalized? Thank God for the day. Thank God for the teaching. Thank God for the revelation. But you see, you can hear all that, and like the other guys who God, but says God showed it to them. God himself made them know about him and of him. But in their foolish minds, they rejected all that God said to them. All that God said. That is not so. We have another way of doing it. It's more democratic. A more democratic way of doing it. Actually, they worship the creature more than the creator. Have you noticed that thing in the world today? You know, you can do anything. You can be the worst kind of human being. But as long as you have a foundation that is looking after the poor in usually Africa. Africa will arise in Jesus' name. Have a foundation that is looking after widows or is, you know, supplying, you know, food to aid to somebody, or maybe you have a foundation or some kind of thing that takes care of little babies, you know, premature. It doesn't matter how you live. Just do something for humanity and you're okay. You are blessed. You are a good man. It doesn't matter. Your life, your character is of no consequence in the eyes of men. That's where we have. That's where we've arrived. That's gross darkness. Amen. So instead of stumbling on others, by the grace of God, as we discern the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation, as we live and walk as He did, that revelation is a revelation of His life. The Christ of how He lived, how He walked, how He did what He did, all these wonderful things that have been taught all these years, and we internalize that light revelation by doing it. Amen? Keeping the word in our hearts, keeping it in our mouth, and then doing it, all His teaching in life, so that when the light comes, when the light goes and the darkness comes, like it has come now, the light of the Christ life and character inside within will give us illumination where we go to, how we go to, what we do, the things we do, so that we will not stumble. You will not stumble in Jesus' name. Amen. And when you don't stumble and you walk like He did in these times of darkness, perilous times, others will see your walk and they will come. They will go, how you do it? What are you doing? What is it exactly about you that when everybody else is doing contrary, you just... And they want to know who is your God. Amen. This is it, folks. But it says, let your light so shine before men. Amen. Your light is not just to be covered, it's to be given light to the whole house. Amen. Now, so this day of gross darkness, we have to have an internal light within. That light is the light of the glory of God, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy that leads us with unerring accuracy into this night of moral and spiritual darkness so we will not stumble. I remember mommy was sharing with us at home when she came back from abroad recently. She was saying that if you want to know where God is, just use integrity. She said integrity is a moral compass of this time. And she gave an example. I don't want to go there. But the essence is that it's what you have built inside, what you have cultivated. Thank God for the house and the fathers of the house who have, you know, made integrity their watchword. That verse, integrity will guide you so your steps will not slide. That's an internalization of the light of God, the integrity of God that comes out whenever there's a dark moment. So instead of looking at the darkness, you look inside. See the light of integrity, the light of the revelation of the word of God. What do I do in this case? And then you move according to the word. But you can only do that if it's internalized. Amen? Amen. You will not stumble in darkness in Jesus' name. And I said, why do they? All right, question. The light of revelation perfect. Why do people stumble? Give me John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 to 9. First John chapter 2, verse 9. 1 John 2, verse 9. What is the fulfillment of that light so that we will not stumble in this day? It says, 1 John 2, it says, he that saith he's in the light. How many people are in the light? It says, he that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Next verse. He that loveth his brother abideth where? In the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. So it's the love of God perfected. That revelation of love, ingrained, internalized by the power of the blood, the word, and the spirit, that gives you that moral compass so that if you're always looking to walk in divine love, the compassion of God, the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, then the power of God will follow to enable you to walk surely and circumspectly in this day so nothing will make you to stumble. That's the key. Perfection of divine love. Amen? And the Bible says also in 1 Peter chapter, it says, they stumble being disobedient at the word. What is that word? That word is a word that was laid in Zion, a rock of revelation of the Christ life laid in Zion. Anyone that disobeys that rock, that word, that revelation, that stone which the builders have rejected, that will cause that person to stumble. Do you understand what we're saying? Amen. So the stumbling is because of an attitude of ignorance, an attitude of dishonesty, of willful ignorance, not ignorance. They're not ignorant, but they're willfully so. An attitude of willful ignorance, an attitude of dishonesty, an attitude of not seeking to fulfill the purpose of God, the word of perfection and fullness, and internalizing it, so that when the darkness now takes over, they'll have something to walk with. Now, question. How do we do all this? Well, I've already said it, but we'll just run through it. It says, by using the blood. The blood of the word, the Bible says that the entrance of his word gives light. Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we use the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Travail in prayer. All these marvelous things have been taught. Amen. The power of the Spirit, travail, communion prayer. Use that to drive out the sin nature in our mind, in our wills, in our emotions. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 says, God who commanded light to shine in darkness, says, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hello, somebody. That's the key right there. God has commanded that light to shine, but it's shining in your heart. And that light gives you the knowledge of the glory, how to attain unto the glory. Okay, this is not it too. This is Psalm 19. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Quickly, please. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Hello? Thank you. I think we're stuck again. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God who hath commanded the light to shine in darkness has shone in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. That knowledge that Pastor was teaching us is epignosis. Hello, somebody. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts where the darkness was. Amen. To give the light of the knowledge, the epignosis of how to attain to the glory of God, which is in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my own paraphrase. Amen. And that's it. So, if the Lord causes light to shine by the entrance of the word, driving out the sin nature in the mind, the will, emotions, and then also it drives out the same sin nature out of our physical bodies. And I love this part. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, same verse, same chapter, down in verse 10. The Lord speaks, says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Then he repeats it again in verse 11. He says, for we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, in this now season. So, in this day, because the light is in your mind, your will, your emotions, and it's also the life of God is in our flesh, which is shining as light, you have no part dark. It's all light from top to bottom. Hello? This is where we're going, folks. Give me Luke chapter 11, verse 36. Luke 11, 36. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Everybody's a little bit silent today. Luke 11, 36, please. Thank you. 11, 36. Luke 11, 36. All right. Please let me know if it comes up. Hallelujah, somebody. We're ready to... Yeah, Luke 11, verse 36. Now, this is it. It says, if thy whole body... Let's read from verse 35. It's not up here. Verse 35 says, take heed therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. We spoke about that earlier. But this is the consequence of having that light shine in your mind with emotions and then filling your physical body. Look what the consequence is. It says, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when the bright shining of a candle doth give light. So everything about us is to be light. Mind, will, emotions, enlightened. Thank you. The spirit, soul, and body. The whole physical being. So when we stand in darkness, there will be light. And you will not stumble. And those that observe and see and walk after the way we walk will know also not stumble. Amen. Now, finally, as we begin to close. The Lord showed me that there are 3 degrees of light. And only one can overcome the darkness, the gross darkness of this time. First of all, there's a light of the outer court. The light of day in the outer court. Amen? Natural understanding of the word. No revelation. Prayer in the understanding. That's outer court. And folks, that's where the overwhelming majority of the church is now. So, they're not even the light of the purpose of God, they don't have. They don't understand, they have a form of godliness. But the power to become like God is not there. So they always do things in natural understanding. You know, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. Tradition, religion, blah, 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 blah. That light cannot be useful. It can be useful when it's day. But when there's night, that light cannot survive this present gross darkness. It will not. It's not. The darkness is gone. Just even look at it in natural. You are standing in the daytime. And there's the sun. And the sun goes down. And the whole place is dark. Night comes. What are you going to do? You're falling over the brazen lava. Hello? It will stumble. That light will not do anything in this time. Then there's the light of the holy place. The light of the candlestick. Thank God. Candlesticks, the menorah, it represents the illumination, a measure of revelation. Revelation by the Spirit. Amen? That's where we pray in tongues. Amen? Representing Pentecost. Now, this light is a measure of light, and it does shine in darkness, because you see, the holy place is not, you know, it's a covered place. It's a second place after the outer court, which has no cover. So it's the first place you go into where it is covered. And it's dark, except that there is a candlestick there giving illumination, giving revelation. But even though there's a candle there, it's represented when you speak in tongues. But even though there's a light there, there's a measure of revelation, folks. But you will notice that in the periphery of that compartment, there's still pockets of darkness. It is not like shadows. So you don't see everything. Hello, sir. What that light is supposed to do is to shed light upon the bread and upon the altar of incense that will take you into the third compartment. Once you can see those, you're on the right track. But it will not give you illumination in this day that will dispel all darkness. It's not designed to. It's to show you the way to get to where there is light that can dispel all gross darkness. We're still seeing in this apartment, we're still seeing through a glass darkly. And then the light of the holy place, the Shekinah glory. This is blazing light. There is no darkness there. It is pure light. Nothing is left in the shadow. You can see everything in bold, total relief. Everything. This is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend. The light of the glory of God made manifest through mature, spiritual, Christ-like leadership. Kings that rule and also provide a place, a light in darkness to direct them and those that follow their teachings. Amen? This is the glory of God. This is the light that we must have in this gross darkness. Nothing else will do. You will have the light in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. That was my final scripture. But thank you, sir. So this is it. And it's only by humility. Diligent practice of the principles of the Christ life for many years. Thank God for Pastor here. Our father's been doing this for many, many years. And he's still doing it. Amen. We thank God because we see the light of the glory now about to be made manifest. Amen. And you... Either you get it like that, or you submit, like we are by the grace of God in this house, submit to those who have that light by the borrowed anointing. But folks, only the glory of the most holy place, only the Shekinah glory will dispel the gross darkness we see. Nothing else will do. Hello, somebody. So you see where we're going, folks? It's only the Shekinah glory that can deliver this world from this gross darkness. Only. The outer place cannot do it. Nope. The outer place. You know, it's amazing, Smitha. Is it that? The enemy has done this. Let me not say. Because I think, you know, if you're standing in one place for years and years and years and years and years, and you're doing the same thing. So I wasn't 3 years. I think I was about 2 years. When I began to say, is this all? What happens next? Just come, you sing chorus, you go home. Come back the next week, sing chorus, you go home. There's got to be more than this. There has to be. Thank God for the beginning. We're not despite the state in the small greetings, but we ought to ask ourselves questions. You've been running around this mountain for so long. Isn't there any other mountain? Hello, sir. Turn you northward. Thank you, sir. This day of darkness, only the manifestation of the Spirit without measure in diverse applications. I said, Pastor White, I said, this present manifestation is a demonstration of wisdom and of power. I said, by the church, we made known the manifold wisdom of God. You can only get that. And those who sit in, those who stand in the most holy place, they will sit on the mercy seat, ruling and reigning like with God in the mercy seat. They will be able to scatter all evil with their eyes. So nothing dark, darkness cannot comprehend. They will not get close. Amen. This is it, folks. This is the message I bring today. Not the light that shines dimly, not the light that is partially dark, but the light in which there is no darkness at all. That's where God is. The Bible says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It says, there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. No shadow. Nothing. That is the light we must have now. How do we get there? Go back to Luke chapter 11. Singleness of mind. Make up your mind, folks. Single-minded pursuit of perfection. There's going to be tight times. There's going to be times of affliction. The Bible says that the afflictions of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed. It says this light affliction is working for us a far more eternal weight of glory. Oh yes, you'll have challenges. There'll be times when nothing seems to go well. There's too much pressure. Oh, poor God, how was going on? The glory is coming. Don't give up. Single-minded. Face front. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't shake. No shaking. Tell your neighbor, no shaking. No shaking now. The glory is about to come to pass. We're about to see the glory. Bob says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looked at that, is fit for the kingdom. You will not put your hand on the plow and look back in Jesus' name. Bible says, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense. Those are scriptures that we need to meditate upon daily. Because this time is a time of gross darkness. Yes, we do not deny that. But God has made the solution. I will not be satisfied with anything but His likeness when I awake. Amen. So, in this night of darkness, don't be shaken. Keep the word of God in our hearts, in our mouth. Do it. Keep your eyes single. Have the light of life within us to direct us. And the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, will be our real reward and our defense, and be seen manifest in us and through us, and will become a light that all men will come to. And the Bible says that the glory, Isaiah 60 verse 1, as I close. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise on thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. Thank you, sir. And the Gentiles, thank you, sir. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to thank God for that beautiful word. And I believe that God wants us as individuals and as well as a collective group of people to appreciate these things and walk in them. Truly, we are living in a time of gross darkness. I've not lived for very long. I'm only 50-something years old. But I have seen, in these just few years I've been on the earth, I've seen what Pastor Wega beautifully described as a darkness gradient. You know, a gradient is when something, you know, goes from a small value and it goes to a higher value over a period of time. You know, as we call it, gradient. You know, you've seen the increase in gross darkness. It was a very, very subtle, gradual, over the years, you know, things just started getting. And then we just woke up one morning and Lo and behold, good has become bad and bad has become good. It is a time of emergency. It's a gross, great spiritual emergency, great spiritual danger. That is why the Apostle Paul called it perilous. In other words, there are times of great peril, and if, God forbid, as Christians, we don't walk as we should walk, then we are susceptible to perishing in it. That, you know, the Bible, I said this many, many times over the years, when the Bible gives you a warning is not a curse. It's a warning. And the reason why you give warnings to people is so that what you are warning them about will not happen to them. You know, people get all bent out of shape when they hear a warning. That's why it's not too much shouting tonight. You know, that's the purpose of the prophetic ministry, is to give us warnings of what is come to come. So that, you know, the imminent dangers of what is ahead of us will not befall us. God is a good God. Everybody turn to you and say, God is a good God. And God does not want this present darkness, this gross darkness, to envelop you. He wants you to shine in this gross darkness. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Not the will of God, you know, for the present darkness. And that's the purpose of the prophetic and the apostolic ministries, to teach you how to shine inside the gross darkness. And that's what God has used Pastor Wega to share with us tonight. There's gross darkness, true. But the good news is that the gross darkness does not have to overcome us. We can shine, we can, we should, and we must shine inside this present gross darkness. The gross darkness has come. There's nothing we can do about that one. Now it's already here. You know, I am amazed at, you know, the terrible conditions that we are seeing in the earth. And it seems as if every day it seems to get worse. You know, you hear something again and you say, can people do this? And I've got good and bad news. It's not going to get any better. Even right now, even in Nigeria, you know, with all the, even the political, the economic, people like us say, hey, somebody saw my wife, you know, on the plane when they were coming back, a friend of ours, and he was saying, he said, because he knows we pray and, you know, we're prophetic people and all of that, even though he's not a Christian, but he's a very nice and honest fellow. He said to my wife, pray, oh, I know you people pray. He said, pray, oh, Nigeria is not on the precipice in Jesus' name, oh. We're not on the edge, oh. You know, everybody thought that the real danger was the election. Yes, the election was. But even what we're facing now, we're not supposed to pray any less now than we pray during the election. To maneuver, it would be the biggest mistake. To think that, oh, okay, everything is over now. No! In fact, right now the centrifugal forces are trying to pull, you know, there's the northeast, there's the southeast, the Biafran one, there's the delta, all kinds of things, and everybody's now shouting. We need to pray. The dark, the light must shine in darkness. I just highlight one or two things Pastor said, and then we'll just pray and close. At the beginning, he talked about, I was writing notes as he was ministering. He went to the root. What is causing the cross darkness? And the root of it is the dishonesty in the hearts of men. Then he says, God gave them up. That doesn't mean God didn't love them. You know, it's very, you know, when you read those kinds of scriptures, you have to catch the spirit and not the letter. You know, you say, oh God, no. It was them that cut off from God. And I give you light, now you just switch off. Now I'm not giving you light anymore. You switched it off. So the darkness was a consequence of your switching. So when we say the God gave them up, God, they cut God off. So the consequence of cutting light off is darkness. It was not God that switched the light off. It was men that turned the switch off. Very important. Very important, because someone in the back of your mind thinking, how can God just leave them? No, they left God. God still wants to come in, but he can only come in for people who switch, who put the switch on. Very, very, it's fundamentally important. And he went to the root of it. He said, why this thing has happened? Because, you know, he talked about, you know, the church. You know, first of all, you know, the first set of things, you say, well, all those ones are not Christians. Fierce and traitors, heady-minded, you know, but incontinent and all of that. Then he, as the list grew, towards the end of it, you can now see where it catches the Christians. Where it says, having a form of godliness. Lovers of pleasure. You know, that's a very suggestive statement. More than lovers of God. You know, the analytical conclusion to that is that they love God. But they love pleasure more. They love God. Ah, Pastor, I love God. I don't deny it. He didn't love God. But we love pleasure more. We love all the things of this world. So many Christians are very worldly. I've been a pastor for 30-something years now. I can tell you, most people prefer the pleasure of the world. It was Sister Lolade who said this many, some about 2 years ago when we were sharing in church. I have never forgotten because it stuck with me. You know, let me quickly pray. Pastor said I should pray. You know, quickly pray 5 minutes. And then let me go and do what I really want to do. At least I've done what they told me to do. I've done the prayer. I've done a Bible reading. Now let me enjoy myself. Lover of pleasure. More than lover of God. It really has no pleasure in God. His pleasure is in those things. God is a convenience to protect him and help him enjoy what he really likes. It's a fundamental truth, though. Whereas the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. You see, my real pleasure and delight should be in God, not in things. We have a big problem. People delight in things and they use God as a convenience to protect me so I won't be sick and I will not. Why do people want to be healed? Why do people want to live long? To enjoy. That was a joke we cracked many years ago. Say, aim for enjoyment. So let me go there. You know? Yes. Does God doesn't want us to enjoy? Yeah, he wants us to enjoy. But, you know, the Bible gives us all things richly to enjoy. But really, fundamentally, at the bottom level, the reason why you want to live long, the reason why you want to be in health, good health, the reason why you want to have money, and you say, it's so that you can fulfill your purpose. It's not so much just to enjoy. What's the point? Well, even when you enjoy, your enjoyment should be inside doing the purpose. So I'm using all of those things and I'm enjoying them, and what is making me enjoy them is the presence of God with me. So I don't enjoy anything if God is not there. What do I want to enjoy for? My delight is in the Lord, not in things. So if you give me very nice food, you give me a very nice car, you give me a nice aeroplane, you give me nice clothes and all of those things, if God is not with me, I'm not happy. If God is not with you and you are happy, you have a problem. If you can enjoy those things without God, your heart is not right. And many people are like that. They could really care less about God. So long as they have those things, they can push God into the background and pay lip service. You know, as I always say, you know, they confess Him, but in works they deny Him. They profess. God is just lip service. Man, well, believe in God, praise God. But really, deep down inside the heart, God's not important. The things I want are the really important things. I'm not too interested whether God is happy or not, whether He's there, you know. He's only there to be Father Christmas and supply all the things I need, you know. But whether His heart is not important to me. This is the fundamental problem. And it's very sad because, you see, the way I've taught it now, see, after Pastor Greg finished and I came out, you see, the way I've brought it out now, you hardly hear people bring it out. We treat the things of the Spirit with this superficiality. So, and this brings me to what I wrote it down when Pastor G was preaching, because as he was preaching, I was trying to pick by the Spirit what I would call the salient points, the thing. What is this cross darkness? You know what is causing it? He brought it out from Romans chapter 1, that which may be made of known of God has been made manifest to them. He said, but, you know, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And then the Christians get roped into that, you know, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power of godliness? The power of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the power that makes you like God. The power that makes you patient. The power that makes you kind. The power that makes you gentle. You know, these are things we talk about them on the surface, but let's get down to the nitty gritty. What is the power of God? There is the power that makes you like God. How is it denied? How is the power of godliness denied? Very simple: omitting the weightier matters of the law. That's it. That's what's caused the gross darkness in church. It's one of the most effective strategies of Satan. You know why? It is extremely subtle. Because they don't say anything that is wrong. You see, the big problem we have in the church today is that people are saying what is inside the Bible. So when you're hearing this person and say, you know, say hallelujah, somebody. And all the funny things that they say, you know, praise God, you know, God will give you this. They're not saying that's not in the Bible. God will heal you. God will prosper you. You know, everybody here tonight, you know, God is going to give you blessing this Christmas. Amen. You will see no evil. Amen. Amen. You know, and blah, blah, and blah, blah, and tell you all that, you know, they're not saying anything wrong. Everything they are saying is in the Bible. Healing is in the Bible. Deliverance is in the Bible. Blessing is in the Bible. You know, material wealth is in the Bible. You know, but they have omitted. That's the subtlety. He said, you tithe mint, anise, and cumin. That is, you talk about prosperity and the principles of prosperity, which is giving. He said, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And Jesus didn't stop there. He said, these ought ye to have done and not to. You know what? There's nothing wrong with the prosperity. It is very subtle. And, you know, if you've been listening to me for any appreciable amount of time over these years, you will notice that I always tell you, when you are listening, listen. You see, he that hath an ear, hear what is the speech. Don't get caught with the letter. What is he really saying? Is there the weightier matters of the law in this issue? He's telling me God will do God, but is he told me how I'm going to do it? Thank you, Pastor G, Pastor Wally. Has he told me what are the conditions? If he hasn't told me, he's deceiving me. Oh. That's number one. The second thing Pastor Brigger said, which I just want to amplify, I'll close in a few minutes. He talked about, you know, I liked it from Luke chapter 11, from verse 34 to verse 36. You know, that the light of the body is the eye. He said, take heed. It's like a contradiction. That the light that is in deep, you know, how can light be darkness? It's not the same. But to understand it is very simple. Look at our spiritual anatomy. Man is spirit. And I'm going to, you know, I'm using my own body now as a mannequin, a template, you know, spirit. This is where your belly button is, you know, in the most being. Do you understand? Soul, and then the physical body. Now, watch this. It's very simple. I wrote it down when he was ministering. And I've never said it like this before. It was when Pastor Quigley was ministering, he came to me. He said, help them to understand it better. Do you understand? The light is here in your spirit, because that's where you got born again. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Do you understand? He said, now take heed that that light that is there is not darkness. He said, if the eye, if it is healthy and fulfilling its office, then the light that is here will shine through the mind, through the soul, do you understand, and enter into the body, then everybody will see the light. If there is light here, but up here, which is the mind, you know, the will, the emotions, the soul, if it is unhealthy, do you understand, it will block. There's light here, but this one up here will act as a block. So what is inside the body will now become darkness. So even though there is light here, if what is up here is not working properly, do you understand? You know what it is? It's so simple. I did electronics in university. You know what it is? It's a switch. If you have a transistor, you have what you call a gate. You know, in electronics, that's what we how we build all these complicated circuits and everything. You know, a transistor acts like a switch. So what happens is this: your soul is a switch. If your spirit is on, it is on because it has light, do you understand? But the mind is unhealthy, it's like a switch. There is light coming from the generator. If I go over there now and I put the switch off, there's no problem with the light, but once the switch is on, the just is disconnected, you get darkness. Simple. That is why I now appreciate better and better every day what Paul taught us. And B.W. Kenyon picked it, and later on Kenneth Hagin picked it, and later on Kenneth Copeland, later on I picked it, and others, you know, the importance of praying daily for the sake. Keep the switch on. Because you see, if the eye there is not the physical eye, it's the mind. If the mind is off, if it's not fulfilling its office, if it is the Amplified Bible, and they say if it is unhealthy, do you understand? Even though there is light here, that thing acts as an insulator and it blocks the light from shining into the body. So what's going to come on the outside is darkness. Very critical. very critical. And at the bottom of all of that are these things which we have taught over and over. I'm sure you're tired of hearing them, but you cannot be tired. It is not grievous for us to repeat the same things according to the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to keep doing it. Honesty and humility is the key. There are the switches. Honesty and humility with the lowly is wisdom. You know, there is light, humility, the attitude, keep your heart with all diligence. Because it's a switch. It's a switch. Once you switch, no matter how much light is coming, once you put the switch off, you get darkness. That's why you have to keep your heart all day. You have to watch it. So make sure that that switch is always on. It's not faulty. Have you seen a faulty switch? Put a faulty switch, the thing will be going off and on. The light will be going off and on. There's nothing wrong with the supply. Nothing wrong with the supply. The spirit is born again. The problem is in the soul. So if it has a faulty connection, or the switch is not working properly, or deliberately or willful ignorance, you just put the switch off, then what you're going to get is darkness. That's why so many Christians are walking in darkness. The last thing. So learn. That's a beautiful. Maybe you need to see that song sometime soon. Maybe not tonight, but I don't know. Keep the switch of faith on. Put the switch. Keep the switch on. It's not just confession. That the song talks about confession, David Ingo's song. But it's also attitude. Keep the switch on. Keep the switch. The attitude of honesty and humility. Keep it on. Because it's the connection that will connect the light that is inside and let it flow to the outside. Over the years, and I'm still practicing it to the glory of God, I've discovered that this thing is a dynamic system. It's not static. You can have light in the afternoon and not have light at night. You can have light. You can have light in the morning, and by 12 o'clock, you are walking in darkness because something happened to your attitude. And until you change, until you switch that thing back, light won't flow. I never remember. I've noticed that. Maybe I'm the only one. It is what permanent perfection. The brand new put up their hand there. Permanent perfection. They have left us. They have left us. And I cracked that as a joke, And so he now told us, finally, that how do we do this thing? How do we dispel this gross darkness? And he told us, the scripture, he sent it tangentially, and I just wanted to emphasize it. He quoted Jesus in John 8:12. He says, "I am the light of the world." Yeah, that's Jesus. But in that scripture, you mentioned it, but it's just tangential. But I want to amplify it. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. You are the light of the world. Now, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world." So, Jesus is the light of the world. But we are also the light of the world. Now, how are we the light of God? We have Christ in us. So, Jesus is the light of the world through us. I'm not blaspheming. It's the truth. Do you understand? Jesus is the light of the world. Yes, I know Jesus is the light of the world. But he said, you are the light of the world. How am I going to be the light of the world? Because I have the light of the world inside me. So Christ in me, the hope of glory. So the Christ in me is to shine out through me to be light of the world. Jesus is in heaven. But he has now put us on the earth so that he can be the light of the world in the earth through us. When we switch off, the world is in darkness. And then he talked about different intensities of light. Let me use that expression. There's the outer court light, which is only dependent on the natural. Is the light, Pastor G, historically, that we have had, you know, in the last 400 years, from the Reformation, 1517, you know, and Martin Luther, then the Protestant, then the Anglican Church. I was sharing Pastor G the other day, went somewhere, you know, and they were doing things, and I said, ah, this is nice. You know, you had the Anglican, then you had the Methodist, then you had the Baptists, and then finally, you now came to the Pentecost. Thank God for us, the tongue holy rollers. You know, we tongue talking guys, you know. But you see, that light, you know, is great and it's nice, but most of that light, especially for the what we call the denominational churches, the new birth, is natural light in this spiritual sense in which we're talking. Do you understand? It cannot cope with darkness. So as darkness, as the spiritual climate of the earth began to change, the light of the Reformation, the light of the denominational churches could no longer cope. As the years have been progressing, then we move to the Pentecostal light, which is, thank God, is also there, but it has darkness in it. You can't help it. If you take a candle, for example, this room now, the reason why I can see all of you, I can see all your lovely faces, I can see you clearly, is because there's light everywhere. Do you understand? If we switched off, now don't try it. If we switched off all these lights now, and all I had now was the light of my mobile phone, do you understand? Well, there'll be light, but I can't see your face. There'll be so much darkness here, yet there's light. Do you understand? If I had a candle here, just one little candle, do you understand? And we switched off all this light, I won't even know where everything is. It's only what is in my immediate environment I'll be able to see. I won't be able to see that people stand over there. It's light. But it cannot deal with that level of darkness. That is the light of Pentecost. That is what Paul was talking about. I preached about this last Sunday or two Sundays ago, where he says that we see through a glass darkly. And I mentioned it, and I'm going to keep saying it, he was not talking about heaven. He was talking about growth. That's why I said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. That's why he used that illustration. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. He says, now we see through a glass darkly. But when that which is perfect, talking about maturity. Not talking about heaven. Now, of course, there is a reference to heaven. When we get to heaven, of course, we'll see everything. So there is that application to it, but keep it in its context, in its main context. That's not what he's talking about. You know, the carnal mind always wants to push everything to heaven. That's why everything you've ever heard about the Holy Ghost giving to life to our physical bodies is at the resurrection. Now it's the same thing Mary's mind did and Martha's mind. When Jesus got there and said, your brother shall live again, immediately the carnal mind, I know he will live at this. That's all. We all do the same thing. Don't criticize them. Same carnal mind. I know he will live again. And he will rise again on the other day. They just said, you don't understand what I'm talking about. It is true he will live again. But now, here, this very day in this Bethany, I am the resurrection and the life. So he now brought what the carnal mind had pushed into the future and brought it. Now faith is. Amen. And brought it down. And that's what we must learn to do. All these things we're talking about, yes, when we get to heaven, we will see clearly and we will see, we will know even as I'm known. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to know as I'm known. I can do it there. In fact, his will is that I do it now. by becoming a man.
Amen.
The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that the light will come in my mind now. Not when I get to heaven. The world does not need the light when I get to heaven. They need it now. So we thank God for the light of Pentecost, but it has shadows and is limited. Like Pastor G beautifully said, it's meant for so I can see the showbread and I can see the altar of incense. I can then use the showbread, the word of God, the bread of life, to pray in the spirit that will now take me to the next dimension, the most holy place, where I will now get light that has no darkness. In Him is light. Knows that shadow of turning. It is that light that will now dispel the gross darkness. Hence, the reason why gross darkness is still prevailing on the earth tonight is because the church has not broken through to that third dimension. That's the essence of this message. To inspire us, to challenge us, to do what Paul said, I press toward the mark. Because folks, this little candlestick that we have is not going to do the job.
No.
But the candlestick is only working for me in my house. Is it true? It's working. My candlestick is working for Olubi Johnson. You know, I use life scripture in the morning and I pray in tongues. But it's not dispelling the darkness in Nigeria.
No.
It's not designed to. It's a candlestick. It's not dispelling the darkness of ISIS. It's not dispelling the darkness of the homosexuality and rubbish in America and in London. There are Christians in America and in London. Everybody has a little candlestick inside their house. But is that going to dispel the darkness in the nation? We must move from the candlestick, use the candlestick to break through. That's the real meaning of breakthrough. Into the holiest of all, so that the Shekinah glory will then dispel the darkness over the entire nation. And then shall come to pass that which was written, that it says, kings shall come to the brightness of thy rise. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. But the glory of the Lord shall be seen. Not imagined. Not perceived. Seen. That is the essence of this message. We cannot survive with the light that we have. We have light too, but it's not enough. This candlestick light, some of us we don't even have candlestick one. It's true. Even the born again spirit tongue talking Christian, because most people don't pray much in tongues, they don't even ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and because of the dishonesty of their heart, they only operate in the outer court. Even though they've spoken in tongues once or twice. So they only have natural light. The few who pray in tongues a little bit and try and, you know, with some higher degree of honesty of heart, you know, make the holy place, and but still this candlestick. Candlestick is individual. It can help me individually. And the whole purpose of it is to help me use the showbread and the breakthrough. There's no point if I just have the candlestick and I just eat my bread and stay inside the room. I'm supposed to make progress into the most holy place. Then open that Shekinah glory so that it will dispel this current darkness. Nothing short of it is going to deliver this generation. You know, recently I said this on Sunday, and I say it again now to encourage us. And Pastor Quig actually mentioned it when he was talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That life of God be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, I look around me. I look at the news. I look at my environment. I say, God. Hey, God. When will this manifestation come? It's as if everything is giving way around us. There's so many battles on so many fronts. As you are trying to solve one, another one is breaking. Another one is breaking here. And I give that scripture from Isaiah chapter 35. He said, "Say to the fearful and hasty of heart, behold, your God will come with a vengeance and with a recompense." And to encourage you, I said, God, why are we feeling this pressure? There's so much pressure. In recent times, for me personally too, I pray a lot, but to the glory of God, and I don't say that to show off or anything, it's just the truth. You know, I pray hours and hours every day, because I'm a pastor, you see, and I have responsibility for so many things. You know, I have to pray for myself, I have to pray for my wife and my children, then I have to pray for Nigeria, I have to pray for the nations of the world, and I have to pray for church, so I've got a lot on my plate. You know, and I do, by the mercy and the grace of God, God helps me to be faithful. I mean, I'm not perfect, at times I'm not doing as well as I should, but most of the time, by the grace of God, God helps me. You know, this morning I got up very early, started praying again, you know, prayed right until afternoon, you know, early morning, you know, 11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I had to attend to certain natural things I had to attend to. I had to come back again, rest, pray, and prepare for the service. But the point is this. I said, God, I mean, look at all this stuff I'm doing. You know, have mercy, oh. Yeah, my body, you know. And then he gave me this scripture. It encouraged me, and it will encourage you. This is what Paul said. And I'm experiencing it personally, you know. And you, as you move in this thing, as Pastor Wicker was encouraging us, that it might be tough sometimes. But let's stay with it and hold it. And it is this, you know, he said that the life of God, he said, we are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That, look at it. So you have to die. I preached it many years ago. I even have a book called Dying to Live. You know, we're bearing about in the body, dying, that the life of God might be made money. In other words, if somebody doesn't die, another person will not live. The next scripture, give me verse 10. Always bearing about. Look at the word always. Look at the word bearing. And look at where you bear it in your body. And I noticed that thing. When I pray, after some time, my body will start. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. But that's the only way that the life of God made manifest in the flesh. Next verse. For we which live are always delivered. In other words, every time you draw life and you pray, you come under attack. Are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. But the good news is that the life of God may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. And that's my punchline to close. So then, death is working in us, but thank God, life is working in you. So, every time we give life out to you, the life in us goes down and it causes death. But the good news is that we can go back to the source of life. It is this dynamic that is causing us to feel the pressure. Because if we're giving life out, then the life in us goes down. Then we have to go back. But between that process, the body feels the pressure. But the thing for us to do now is stay with it until we get the breakthrough into the Shekinah glory. Let us pray. Talk to God. So when you're feeling the pressure, understand what's going on. And don't moan and complain. Thank God for the privilege. See, I cannot understand, but in the days of he offered up prayer. He was undergoing pressure. What do you think was going through in Gethsemane? It was pressure. Because life was going out of him. And the people who were supposed to be supporting were sleeping. Who would have taken off some of the pressure? He said, watch and pray while I go yonder. And then sadly, that is still true today. Now the guy that was supporting,
So you find that a few guys are carrying all the pressure.
Because so many people are not praying.
Yeah, we have to give life to them so they don't perish.
So life is, death is working in us, but life in them. But anyway, it's all right. We'll get there. After all, at the end of the day, Pastor G, the important thing for us is to get the manifestation. When the manifestation comes, we won't feel all that thing anymore. We'll feel it, but it will not be as much. When you see the manifestation, you feel the, how should I call it? You feel fulfilled. That all the pressure and everything was worth it. Exactly. And the baby is born into the world. Once a man child is born, then the woman, the mother, no longer, remembers the pain of the travail. Yes, but that's it.
We see your glory. We see your glory. We see your glory now appear.
We see your glory.
We see your glory.
We see your glory.
We see your
see your glory now. other hand to God and tell God, I will proclaim your majesty to my generation. David said in one of the Psalms, he said, Lord, I won't give up, I won't stop until I have shown forth your power to this generation and for those that are to come. That should be the heart cry of every true son of David. As New Testament Christians, we are of the root and offspring of Jesse. Jesus is the son of David in the flesh, and he's also the root and offspring of David. We are a Davidic Melchizedek generation. And that's why God used David as a type and a father to us. When he gave promise to Jesus, to David, he was not talking about Solomon. He was talking about the spiritual lineage that will arise from David. For I have found in David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of his will. There is a generation on the earth now that is like David, who will not rest until they have done all the will of God. Now tell God tonight, I'm part of that generation. It's not just with mouth, though. It's not just because you are born again or a child of God. It all has to do with the heart commitment, heart dedication, heart honesty, heart humility. You know, I will, Lord, I proclaim your majesty to my generation. Lord of light, holiness and truth, power and might. I want to see your glory. Nothing will satisfy me. I'm not interested in house and car and clothes. Yeah, they're fine, you know, but they're only there for me so that I'll be comfortable to do what you want me to do. Without your purpose, they all become meaningless. House, car, wife, children, promotion, and all these things. You know, they are not an end in themselves. They just provide me a nice environment, a good environment, so that I can actually do what I really want to do, which is to see your glory. Amen. When I'm financially comfortable, then I'm not worse. I can pray better, and I can, you know, when I'm well and I'm not sick, then I can do what I... All those things are a means to an end. They are not an end in themselves. They are not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is your glory. I tell God that. And mean it. What I'm looking for, nothing will satisfy me. Money, cars, wealth, you know, the things that people are running after, they can't satisfy. Things will never satisfy me. Nothing short of your glory will satisfy me. I will only be satisfied when I awaken. That's not even at the resurrection. I'm talking about here now. When I see your likeness in my heart and I see your glory, and then I use it for your purpose of the discipleship of the nations. That is my satisfaction. That's where I'm going. Talk to God. Talk to God. We're going to pray in a minute. Thank you, Jesus. It's very important we grab the spirit of these things, not just the letter. Don't sing songs. You know, get the meaning. What is the Holy Ghost saying? That's why God loved David so much. See, David, he made his mistakes, but David got it. He said, show me your power as I've seen in the sanctuary. He says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. When will I see God? My flesh longeth for the living God. That's it. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied with all this. I enjoy the things of this world, that, you know, to make me physically comfortable, but they don't satisfy me. I will not be satisfied until I see his glory, until I see him face to face. Yes, those are the kind of people God's looking for. The David kind of people. The David kind of people. That's the thing. That was the difference between David and his brothers. That was the difference between David and the rest of Israel. The rest of Israel were blessed by God, but they were not jealous for the glory of God. I shared this on Sunday when I was talking about glory, wisdom, and riches.
Why should they say to us, where is our God? Why should they say? And they are saying it too. Talk to God. Okay. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I repent of an attitude of loving things more than loving you. Of loving what you give more than loving you and your purpose. Oh my God. I repent of this wrong attitude. Lord God, I delight myself in you. In your presence, truly, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And my satisfaction will only come from the presence of your glory, which I will use to fulfill your purpose. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I have heard your word tonight, and I ask for fresh mercy and fresh grace to continue to walk with you, so that the light that is in me will not be darkness, but I, through Christ in me, will become the light of this world and the light of my generation. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo shelebegare. Sifridinga shalika. Nekatongi takaka. Sheni prikito fredenges. Zofrikitolo mashangitos. Ningatolo mashangatalos. Lo prikito fredengito ungas. Lingara lombr du frishi.
Jesus' name.